Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
In the name of Jesus, we come before you with thanksgiving and thank you for your holy word. We ask you now to help us, Lord, to understand what we see. We thank you for the anointing, Father. Thank you for the teaching anointing, Lord God, that's here. Thank you, Father God, for helping us to see, for granting unto us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, for deeper insight, and for helping us, Father, not only to see those things we've never seen before, but to understand them so we can walk in them, so we can do them, so we can apply them, and so we can see and receive the results, Father. Now we're asking for your help now. And we thank you that by your Holy Spirit, Father, all these things are made possible to us and granted unto us. And so we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you'd just open up your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 5. We're talking about the principles of sowing and reaping. And we've been talking about reaping in the supernatural. Amen? And it's been good. I've gotten some things out of this. I don't know about you. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 24, reading out of the King James, it says this: Let us now reverence the Lord our God that gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season, and he reserves unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. God has appointed harvest time for us. And we know from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, To everything there's a season and a time. For every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to reap that which was planted. There is a harvest. When we plant, there's a harvest. If we do what God tells us to do, when God tells us to do it, the way God tells us to do it, where God tells us to do it, there will be a harvest every time. And He has appointed not only the harvest, but a time for the harvest. That's good news. I want you to understand something about what we're reading. The book that you have in your hand is not just a nice story or collection of stories. It is the living Word of God. It may have been penned by the hands of men, but it was dictated to those men by the Holy Ghost. It's the Word of God, and it's important for us to reverence it and understand that this is what God has said, and this is the way it is. It doesn't matter what we've been taught. It doesn't matter what we've heard. It doesn't matter what we've read elsewhere. It doesn't matter what men think. It doesn't matter what the pundits would put forth. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is what God has said in His Word. And if we'll just simply believe what God has said in His Word and do what He says, the way that He says to do it, we will have what God has promised. Now, I've discovered that to be true because I've done it the other way and that doesn't work. But if we do it this way, it will work, right? Hallelujah. We've come to understand that we have to plant if we're going to have a harvest and that there is a harvest time. And we came to understand that according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, that we have helpers that have been given to us. We found out that those helpers are angels. Angels have been sent forth by God to us to help us in everything that we do, including the harvest. And we found out from the last time we talked about this that those angels are waiting for us to command them. They won't move until we command them because they obey the voicing of His Word. And when we speak the Word and command, those angels move. And they're to help us to bring in whatever harvest there is. Amen? We also found out that we need to know where our harvest is. And we found out where our harvest is. We found out that most people don't have a clue where the harvest is. They're looking for harvest in all the wrong places. But we know that Jesus said in Luke, when the Pharisees asked Him, can you just please tell us when's the kingdom of God coming? And that's what people are looking for when it comes to their harvest. Well, where's the kingdom of God? Where's this harvest that's in the kingdom of God? And Jesus replied to them and said, well, listen, it doesn't come with observation. Stop looking for it that way. You're not understanding this. Stop looking for it the way you're looking for it. You're looking in the wrong places. Don't say, look at here it is, or there it is, because it does not come with observation. But the kingdom of God is in you. So that if we've planted seed in the kingdom of God, which is what we've done if we've planted supernatural seed, and the kingdom of God is in us, then our harvest is in us. And we found out from Luke chapter 6, verse 45, that what we have to do is get that harvest out of the kingdom and into the natural. And we're the ones that has to do it. Luke 6, 45 says, the good man bringeth forth out of the good treasure of his heart that which is good. The man does it. God gives the seed, man does the planting. God gives the increase, man brings forth the harvest. That's how it works. Now you see, most people are confused about that. They really don't have a handle on that. They really are still looking for God to bring in the harvest for them. He's not going to. We found out from Mark chapter 4, around the 29th verse, that it says it's the man, when the harvest comes, that puts in the sickle, not God. It was the man that planted the seed. God gave the increase, multiplied it, and now it's the man who's got to bring in the harvest. It's the man that's got to put in the sickle. And God has been gracious enough to give us helpers to help us. But we still have to do the reaping. Now, do you mind if we just touch on something? Many people are trying to reap a harvest where there is none, or trying to reap a harvest that's already been reaped, but they don't know that either. So would you agree that before we go out into a field and try to reap a harvest, that we should make sure first that we have a harvest? I mean, before we start putting energy into something, shouldn't we make sure that we have a harvest? When it comes to reaping a harvest, the first question is, in order for us to have a harvest, must we sow? Well, the answer is yes. So in order for us to have a harvest, we have to make sure that we've sown. Do you realize that if we haven't sown, there is no harvest? Do you know that many people are trying to reap a harvest that they have not sown? Many people are trying to reap a generous harvest, and they haven't sown generous seed. They've sown sparingly. Now, I'm saying this because it's important for us to examine ourselves to see exactly where we are. You know, God will give us wisdom. He will give us what we need to know if we'll just ask Him. My wife and I, when we were in that situation where just about every Christian in America is in, and that is in debt and on the edge, a week or two away from bankruptcy. Because most Christians are two paychecks away from bankruptcy. In other words, if they miss two paychecks, they're in deep doo-doo. And most people don't have enough in the bank to be able to cover them 1 month. And so most people are really close. And when we went before God and began to talk to Him about how we got to where we were and how we were going to get out, the thing that we asked Him to do for us is to teach us what we need to know. And He began to show us things and teach us things that we just couldn't believe that we had allowed ourselves to do by following the traditions and the culture of the society that we live in. I mean, it was amazing when the Lord began to talk to us about these things, because we began to see things and He began to teach us. And so I want to make sure that we've got a good solid foundation on this stuff. If we're going to reap a harvest, a generous one, we need to make sure that we are sowing. And we need to make sure that we're sowing generously. Now, can I say this to you? I'm not just talking about finances now. We can be talking about healing. Did you know that if you don't sow seed for healing into you, you are not going to reap a harvest? Now, that doesn't mean that people can't come up and minister to you. But let me just tell you something about healing. While we do have the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the gifts, we do have special anointings that are in people. That's all well and good. Praise God and thank God for that. But you know, that's not the best way to be healed. The reason why it's not the best way to be healed is because there's a good possibility that while it's ministered to you, you may not be able to keep it. Because if you didn't know how to get it, how are you going to keep it? That's why I say it's not the best way. It's a good way. Praise God. I'll take it. But we need to make sure that we're able to keep that which God has given us, because the Word of God says that Satan comes immediately to try to steal that. And there have been just as many cases of people who have been healed through the laying out of hands, and I mean fully healed, whom the devil came later on and stole it from them by trying to put those symptoms back on them, and they took them thinking, I guess I didn't really get healed. They didn't know how to keep it. And the reason why they didn't know how to keep it is because they didn't know how to get it to begin with. They actually had to rely on someone giving it to them instead of them taking it by faith. That's why I say it's not the best way. And so what I say is this, when it comes to a harvest of healing, you know the best way to walk in divine health? Sow divine health. Stay filled with the Word of God on healing and health. Get into the Word of God. Most people couldn't find a healing scripture in the Word of God if their life depended on it, and very often it does. If I said, give me a scripture right now, scripture reference of healing, give me one right now, 99.999% could not give me one. And they'll tell themselves, they'll say, praise God, I'm the healed of the Lord. But they have nothing in them. Did you hear that? If we want a harvest of health and healing, we had better sow health and healing into ourselves. I do regularly. You know why? Because I've been healed. I've been healed of a really debilitating and painful heart problem. I don't want that coming back on me. And if it does try to come back on me, I'm going to make sure I've got a harvest in me of health and healing that's going to kick that thing right out. I'm not going to go back to that place. Kenneth Hagin, a man who was born dead and who had an incurable blood disease that brought on all kinds of heart problems and everything else. Though he did live, he praised God, the Lord miraculously restored him to life. But he was sickly his whole life up till the time he was 16 years old. Died three times, as a matter of fact. And he was paralyzed. He couldn't get out of bed. They'd given him up. Man, they were giving him the rites, you know. The pastors had come over and just pretty much pronounced him, you're going to die, son. Might as well just, you know, face it. It's all going to be over soon. But he, by reading the Word of God and seeing what was in it, by faith received complete and total healing, raised from a bed of sickness and death. But you know, throughout the years, there were a few times to where the enemy came and tried to put that thing back on him. Symptoms came back again. Well, he had to keep himself his whole life. Every day, said he, fed on healing scriptures. Every day he was reading the Word of God. Every day, keeping himself strong and built up on the Word of God. You know that it was the life of God, the Word of God living in him that kept him strong. And he lived to 84 years old. And when he went home to be with the Lord, he did not die in sickness. He just up and left. Smiled at everybody, dropped his head, and went home to be with the Lord. Amen. If we want a harvest of healing, we have to sow the seeds. What about, there's people, for example, that are believing for family members to be saved. Do you know if there's no seed sown, there's no harvest? We have got to sow seed. If there's no seed sown, there cannot be a harvest. Not even for salvation. The Word of God says that you and I were born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Somebody sowed the seed of the Word of God of salvation into us. And that seed brought forth a harvest. We have to do that. That's if we want people to be saved. See, there's a lot of people that I know that are believing God for their loved ones or family members or friends to be saved, but there's no seeds being sown. If you want a generous harvest, you've got to sow generous seed. But you know, many people are afraid to sow the seed, just like it says in Ecclesiastes, he that observeth the wind will not sow. Well, the conditions don't look favorable for me to sow some seeds here about salvation to this individual. The conditions don't look favorable. They may not like what I'm going to say. These observe in the wind. But the Word of God tells us to be instant in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. And to always have our conversations seasoned with the Word of God so that it may minister grace to them. Do you know that there is absolutely nothing more valuable to that individual, those individuals, our family and friends, than to continually to be sowing the seeds of God's goodness, love, grace, and mercy into them? We don't have to beat them and tell them they're going to hell. Besides that, they already know that. So we don't need to tell them that. But we do need to sow the seeds. And if there's no seeds, there's no harvest. So the question is, are we sowing? Because if we're not sowing, there isn't a harvest. Did you understand that? Well, if there's no word, there's nothing to take root. And if there's nothing to take root, there's nothing to bring forth fruit. So the first thing is we have to understand is are we sowing? And are we sowing generously? Because how much of a harvest do we want, right? Okay. Now, the second thing is, are we sowing in accordance with God's instructions? Now, here's where a lot of people miss it. Let's just talk about finances. Are we sowing in accordance with God's instructions? Can I help you with this? This is why some people, they don't even realize they've had a harvest and don't even know it. And other people don't have a harvest because they haven't followed the instructions. Matthew chapter 6. See, before we can reap a harvest, we have to make sure that we have a harvest to reap. This is good, right? See, the Word of God tells us, examine yourself, see whether you're in the faith. Prove yourselves. Test it. See whether it's working. If it's not working, we're not doing something properly. Would you agree with that? Let's look what the Word of God says. Let's talk about giving. Because when we talk about sowing and reaping, unfortunately, because of the state of the American Christian, most people associate this almost exclusively with finances. It's a shame, but it's the truth. But that's because where most people are, financially. And so most people associate it with this. But I just showed you that there's many things that this could include. But here we're talking about finances. So let's look what Jesus says. He gives us some great instruction. Chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 1. Take heed, be careful, that you do not give your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward, you don't have a harvest, of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do give your alms, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men, because verily I say unto you, they have their harvest. They've got their reward. But when you do give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. Let your alms be made in secret, and then your Father, which sees you in secret himself, shall reward you openly. Do you see some instructions here? Now, do you know that there's a lot of people that give a lot, but they don't do it in accordance with this? There's a lot of people that give for the sole purpose of being seen giving. See, I've been associated with more than one ministry, so I've seen this in more than one occasion. And you'd be amazed at the things that I've seen in my life when it comes to people giving. I've seen people put in empty envelopes. I've seen people put in folded up pieces of paper that look like it might be a check. I've seen people put their hand in the offering bucket with nothing in it so that it looks like they're putting something in it. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would somebody do those things? So others can see them doing it. Would you agree with that? Now, it says right here, when you do that, don't do it for that reason, because if you do it for that reason, you already have your reward. Look at the principle behind it. It says right here, don't do it to be seen of men. In other words, don't be looking for the approval of men, because you see, if we do this, we have our reward. You just got your harvest. They saw you. You did it so that people would see you do that. Now, let me just say this about that to anybody who might be listening. If we do that with nothing, we'll use the same thing when we do it with something. Because that's where our heart is. The reason why I know this is because I've done that. See, I used to give to be seen by men. And I felt good about myself because, hey, I could put something in there. I didn't realize, even though there's something in that envelope, I wasn't doing it for God. I want people to see me put something in there. Turn forward to the book of John. John chapter 5. Remember that in order for us to believe God for a harvest, we have to have faith, right? We have to be doing things properly, right? In John chapter 5, verse 44, it says this, how can you believe when you're looking to receive honor one from another instead of the honor that comes only from God? You see what it says there? How can you believe? How can we believe anything when we're more concerned with what people think about us than we are with what God thinks about us? Is that what it says? How can you believe when you're more concerned with somebody seeing you put something in that offering basket or taking a part in whatever it is everybody else is doing, you're more concerned about what they think about you than what God thinks about you. How can you believe? And seeing as how our harvest is based on our faith isn't working properly. Why? Because we're more interested in what people think than we are what God thinks. Doesn't 2 Corinthians 8 tell us this? Listen, if your heart is willing, your gift is acceptable according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. Don't need to put in an empty envelope or a piece of paper that looks like a check or stick your hand in there to be seen by men. No, over back, over in Matthew, it says, look, when you give your alms, don't do it before men to be seen of them. Now, we can't help but doing it before men. Most of the time, there's people around us watching us doing it. But we don't do it so that you can see me put it in there. There was a time when I felt embarrassed to put $5 in the offering basket when it came by, or $2, or $1. I felt embarrassed. See, because when you're used to giving $50 and $100 and $200 offerings, and suddenly you're down to $5, and the reason why I didn't want to put it in there is because I didn't want whoever the minister was to look at my check and say, well, what happened to him? That's only $5. And so that would keep me from putting the $5 in, or the $2 or the $1, I wouldn't put it in there. Amen. But see, I'm now more interested in what the minister thinks about my offering than I am with God. I'm supposed to be doing it to please God, right? But see, I got there. I was there. So you got to watch yourself. We all have to watch ourselves. Let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. There's nothing wrong with putting in a dollar if you're doing it to honor God and that's all you got. I mean, as long as there's a willing mind, the gift is acceptable. But don't do it to be seen of men. Why? Because going back to Matthew tells us why. If that's why we're doing it, we just got our harvest. And you know, there's a lot of people who have lost their harvest because this is what they did, and they don't even know they got it. They lost the increase and multiplication of God because they didn't do it in accordance with the instructions of God. They did it to be seen of men. Listen, to me, it doesn't matter to me personally whether you put anything in that offering basket when it goes by or not. Not from a sense of whether or not I'm going to judge you or not, because I don't look at that. It matters to me that you don't do it because I know there's no harvest if you don't. And I want you to have a harvest. I want you to learn how to operate in the principles of sowing and reaping. But from a personal level, it doesn't matter to me one way or the other, because you're not our source. God is our source. He'll take care of us. He does, he has, and he'll continue to. Whether you're obedient or not, it doesn't matter. But what I'm looking for is I'm looking for you to be able to operate in these things to the degree to where you can receive from God that which God has promised you. That's why we're talking about these things. So we have to make sure that we're following the instructions when it comes to reaping. See, we want to make sure that we have a harvest. Would you agree with that? In order for us to have a harvest, we've got to do things in accordance with God's word. Would you agree with that? And there are many people that are asking God for things. But because of the way they're doing that, they're pretty much hindering any manifestation of God in their life, because they don't know they're missing it. For example, turn forward to 1 Corinthians. See, here's the thing we need to know about operating these things. Many people have been greatly misinformed about these principles. And many people have all kinds of skewed ideas and wrong thinking about them. And they're operating in those things with misinformation, incorrect teaching, incomplete teaching, lack of knowledge. And because of that, they stay where they are. They never increase. Now, I can speak about that personally because I spent 30 years as a born-again Christian and was never able to access the supernatural increase of God. Even though we were sowing, giving, tithing, serving. How many of you know that's not God? And do you know that's where most Christians are? Day after day, week after month, year after year, doing the same things in the same ways and never really increasing. Why? Jesus told us, you will know the truth and it will set you free. It's knowing the truth about these things that makes us free. We have to know what the truth is and then follow the truth according to the word. And if we do that, we'll have a harvest. If we don't do it, we won't have a harvest. And so why try to reap a harvest that isn't there? You know, all that's going to do is bring heart sickness, discouragement, frustration, anger. I don't know about you, but I got angry. I mean, when I got to the point, this isn't working. What the heck is going on here? And let me just tell you, I wasn't kind about it. Thank God that he's got a little bit more restraint than I do. I might just be a pile of ashes. The Word of God tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you're expecting something and hoping for something and you're doing something and you're doing it with in accordance with what you believe, but what you believe is wrong, and you're not seeing the results that you believe have been promised, and it's not there, and you keep on and you need it, and you desperately need it. And I mean you need it. It's just got to come. It has to come. And then it doesn't come. Anybody been there but me? And then what happens inside to you? You get heart sick. You get sick inside. Things are going to come out of your mouth if you're not careful that don't sound good. But that can happen. God says that's what happens. So we need to know the truth about these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read something. Let me show you the reason why many people don't have a harvest. Many people are asking God for things. And very often the things that they're asking God for are not proper. Or they are unnecessary. See, what they're doing is they're asking God for a harvest. Did you know that you don't have to ask God for a harvest if you plant seed? It's automatic. The Word of God says the earth brings forth of itself. You don't have to ask God for a harvest if you've planted seed. The harvest is in the seed. If you plant the seed, that seed will grow provided it's planted when God tells you to plant it, where He tells you to plant it, how He tells you to plant it, that seed will grow. The Word of God says so. God gives the increase. You don't have to ask Him for a harvest. But do you know that that's what most Christians are doing most of the time when they're asking God for things? They're asking God for a harvest. No reason to ask God for a harvest if you have planted one. But let me show you what people are really doing and why they're messing up whatever harvest they may have. Can I show you? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. In the King James, it says this, "Let no man seek his own, but let every man seek another's wealth." In the NIV, it says, "Let no man seek his own good, but let him look after the good of others." Does the Word of God tell us to stop seeking after our own good and our own wealth? Does the Word of God tell us to stop seeking after our own increase, our own wealth, but start looking after the wealth and the increase of others? Did you know it's talking about giving there? Well, how else would you look after the benefit of others if not by helping them and serving them and praying for them? Does the Word of God tell us to stop seeking after our own wealth? Well, now let's just take a minute here and look and see what the Word of God says. Nobody should seek his own good, but for the good of others instead. So, what do most Christians seek? Well, let's just be honest about it. What are most prayers by most Christians involving? Is this God's word to us? Is God telling us this? Is this any less relevant than when the Lord said, "Listen, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved"? Yeah. Is it the same God in the same book? Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. It's the same book. It's the same one. And he says, "Listen, stop seeking after your own stuff. Stop seeking after your own increase. Stop seeking after your own wealth. Would you just get your eyes off of you for a minute?" Now, there's a reason why, by the way, and we'll keep on going. You don't mind, do you? See, I want to make sure everybody's got a harvest before we start talking about reaping the harvest. So, back up. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Let me show you why it's not necessary for you to seek after your own good. You don't have to keep asking God for things. Let me say that again. You don't have to keep asking God for things. Not the way most people are. We are told to ask for certain things, but not the way most people do it. Most people are trying to ask God for things that they don't need to ask for or shouldn't ask for. Let's look at the first things. You don't need to ask for them. You're in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Look at the birds. How many of you have looked at the birds recently? If you haven't, you should, because God says, look at the birds. There's a reason why it tells us to look at them. Look at them. They don't sow. They don't plant. Nor do they reap. Nor do they gather into barns. Now listen, let me just tell you about the birds. They live under a different system than we do. They don't live in the same system we do. They live in the same world, but they're under a different system. These birds don't sow, they don't plant, and they don't gather into barns. We're supposed to. But the birds don't. But we're supposed to. We're told you got to sow. Sow generously if you want to harvest, okay? But the birds, they don't do that. But it says, look it. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much better than they? Now, if you don't know the answer to that question, let me just tell you something. You're worth a whole lot more than a bird. You're worth a lot more. I love animals too. Got a couple myself. We treat them well because the righteous knoweth how to take care of their animals, the Word of God says. But God says you're worth more than a bird. And if God says I'm worth more than a bird, then I am worth more than a bird. Okay? Now, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to a stature? And why do you take thought of what you're going to wear? Look at the lilies of the field. They grow. They don't work. And neither do they spin. In other words, they don't make clothing and fabrics and stuff like that. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now listen, if God clothes the grass of the field, which is today but is tomorrow cast into the fire, how shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says, you're of little faith if you're not recognizing these things. Oh my God, what am I going to do? You're not understanding your position in God and how loved you really are by your Heavenly Father.
Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says Donate by Check or Money Order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message.
Now listen, if you know how to take care of your children, don't you think God knows how to take care of you? Yes, He does. Look at verse 31. Now, I understand that this is contrary to just about every Christian on the planet. And yet it says this, therefore, don't take any thoughts saying, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? How are we going to get clothed? Where are these things going to come from? How are we going to take care of these needs? We've got needs, 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 needs that have to be taken care of. How are we going to do this? God says, why are you thinking about that stuff? That's what the unbelievers do. That's what the heathen do. So in other words, when we're thinking like that, we're thinking like the unbelievers. We're thinking like people that aren't even in the kingdom of God. He says, why are you worried about that stuff? That's what the Gentiles do. Now look at, here's the key in verse 32. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. He knows what you need. He knows that you need them. Would you just take your mind off of you for a little bit and stop thinking about yourself and what you need? And start looking after the interests of others. You know, this is one of the reasons why people's needs don't get met. Because they're so focused on trying to get God to meet their needs, they have not realized that God has already met their needs and they have to receive it by faith. And so they are so consumed with getting their needs met, they forget about everything and everybody else because they're just too busy trying to get their needs met. The bulk of their time is spent in prayer, praying about them and their needs. Come on, now we know that's true. I know because I've been there. So I'm going to spend the bulk of my time just asking God to increase me and just looking for wisdom on how can I be increased? How am I going to do this? And who cares about everybody else? I am more important. And so the bulk of the time is spent thinking on themselves. And yet, the Lord tells us, number one, why are you even thinking about that stuff? If you are, you have little faith. Well, now, what good is little faith going to do us when we've got a big harvest that has to be brought in? What good is little faith going to do us when we've got a big harvest that needs to be brought in? Did you know that if we can't believe God for the needs that He says that He already knows that we need and has already made preparation for and provided, if we can't use our faith and operate it in faith to the little bit to receive that which He's already given us and promised us, how in the world are we going to believe God for that huge harvest that we have been trying to sow into? This is true. When we started learning these things and we were in debt and we couldn't pay our bills, we took our minds off of all that stuff and started putting our minds on what God said. First of all, stop thinking about it. Secondly, start looking at everybody else and what you can do to help them. We started looking for ways to help people. I remember we could barely afford it at the time, but we had somebody come and live with us for 5 months. Remember that? And I'll tell you what, that individual has no idea how much strain that put on our finances. But we're more interested in what God would have us do. Looking after the needs of others. You see, when you start operating in the way God says to operate, you'll start seeing the results that God says you'll have. But you got to do it that way. If He says, don't think about it, guess what we're supposed to do? Not think about it. If He says, don't seek your own wealth, but start looking out for the interests of others, looking out for their welfare, guess what we're supposed to do? Well, we can hang on to this, because see, if I give this to them, I'm not going to be able to get my big screen TV. I won't be able to pay for my cell phone. I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to do that. Whose interests are you looking after? Are you looking after yours or theirs? He's telling us how to increase. He's telling us how to get this stuff. So He says right here, listen, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. He knows that you have need of those things. But look, seek first the kingdom of God. You understand that means do things God's way. Put God's priorities, make them our priorities. Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God. Find out what He wants. What does He consider important? What did He do? To our Heavenly Father, what was the most important thing to Him? His Son. And yet, He considered our welfare more important than keeping His Son in heaven with Him. And what people don't understand is that when Jesus came down here and He was crucified and hung on that cross, do you remember where Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? You understand that God had to turn His face from the Son whom He loved because He could not look at Him? Because Jesus was sin. You understand how giving and loving and how important we are? How our interests far outweighed that of the Father. And even Jesus, who went through that, He was looking out more for us than He was for His own position. Even when He went into the garden and said, listen, if there's any way that we can do this without me having to go to the cross, I'm open to it. Nevertheless, your will, not mine. Just say the word and I'm gone. But, nevertheless, your will. Do you understand that? We need to stop looking out for our own welfare, our own wealth. God is already looking out for us. He knows exactly what your circumstance and situation is right now. He knows it. Did you know that before you were even born, He knew that? And do you know that He created the solution, the way out, the escape, and everything else to bring you out of that and promote you before you even got into it? It's there the whole time. If you would just take your eyes off of you and get it back under the kingdom. Stop seeking it and just start seeking the kingdom. He's got the answer. It's already there. Because why? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added for you. And stop. Will you just stop thinking about tomorrow? Would you just stop? Please. Stop thinking about tomorrow. See, because this is what keeps people from looking out for the welfare and the wealth of others. Tomorrow. If I do this for you today, I won't have enough for me tomorrow. That's what stops the majority of people. They're too busy looking at tomorrow and next week. Oh, I can't afford that. If I do that, I'm not going to have enough to pay my light bill. If I help you, I'm not going to be able to have my own needs met. You don't believe God. I said, you don't believe God. Because God said He knows what you need. That's why the Lord says, listen, stop seeking after your own interest and your own good and start looking out for the good of others. Believe it or not, we're talking about how to get your harvest. Turn over to James. James chapter 4. I told you that people are either asking for things that they should not be asking, or they are asking improperly, which is why they're not seeing things. As I said to you before, there is no reason for us to be asking God for a harvest when God has already said that we would have a harvest if we would sow. Would you agree with that? That would be like every one of us saying, okay, Father, today, Jesus, would you come into my life and save me? Forgive me for my sins and grant unto me eternal life. That'd be dumb. The reason why it would be dumb is because the Lord told me that if I do that, He would. And I did that, and He did. So for me to ask Him to do that would be foolish of me. Well, same thing with this. And I hear this a lot. Matter of fact, I heard it last night. Lord, be with us. Now, that's just dumb. I don't need to ask the Lord to be with me. He's already told me that He would never leave me or forsake me. That He is in me, dwelling in me, living in me. To ask Him to be with me is just outright dumb. That'd be like me asking Annie, Annie, would you come visit us tonight? Well, she's already here. We don't need to ask the Lord for a harvest. If we sow the seed, He says we'll have a harvest. It's real simple. Now, reaping the harvest is a different story, but we don't have to ask Him for a harvest. Okay, now, we're in James, right? Talking about asking for things that we should not be asking for. Talking about asking for things improperly. Okay, verse 2 of James chapter 4. You lust. That's like saying, listen, you want something really, 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 really bad. You just got to have it. You lust, but you don't have it. You kill, you desire to have, but you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. And the reason why is because you don't ask. And then when you do ask, you don't receive. Now he says, listen, you don't have very often because you don't ask. And that's the problem with many Christians. They're not asking God. The reason why many Christians don't have wisdom is because they don't ask God for wisdom, and God's told us to ask for wisdom. Amen? But he says the reason why you don't have is because you don't ask. And then when you finally do get around to asking, you ask with the wrong motivation. And the reason why you're asking is so that you can go ahead and spend it on your wants. The reason why most people are asking for things is because they want things. They want things. And so they're asking God for things. Most people are asking God for things. If you were to take all the Christian prayers and put a list of what they're asking for, the majority of the time people are asking, they want things. Well, I need a new car. Well, I want a new job because I want more money so that I can buy more things. Or I want a new job so that I can have more money so that I can pay for the things that I've already got and that aren't paid for yet. Would you agree with that? I want things. Most people, when I'm talking to them and they're talking to me about things or about praying for them, most of them want me to pray with them and come into agreement with them about things. Now, the Lord says, has already told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, stop seeking after your own wealth. Stop worrying about those things. Now, listen, it's not that God doesn't want us to have those things, but He's told us how to get those things, though most people don't know it. Where people miss it is this. Most people are asking God for things instead of asking God for seed. Because it's the seed that's going to bring the harvest for those things. They got their priorities all messed up. Instead of asking God for seed, they ask God for things. God has told us the way to get those things is to sow. So if we're going to have things, we need to sow. And if we want more things, bigger things, greater things, more expensive things, higher quality things, we need to have more, better seed. But most people's focus is on the thing. And the reason why this messes them up is because the average Christian has confused the difference between the need that is essential and the want that they just have to have.
Yeah.
And so what they do is they take the seed that God has given them that is designed to bring them the things they desire if they use it properly, and instead they consume it upon the things that they want. Then they have no harvest. And because they have no harvest, when the time comes when they needed the harvest and it's not there, now they don't have enough, and now they're in lack because they didn't put their priorities right. When I was a young man, went into the real estate business, this is back in the 70s, and there were a whole bunch of young men, and this was an awesome opportunity for us. But we were actually given franchises. And I watched these young men time after time after time go crazy. Because they came out of a situation where the average minimum wage at that time was about $1.65 an hour. And a lot of these men, they were working sometimes in factories where they might be making $1.85 or $2 or $2.25 an hour, something like that. In other words, they weren't making more than $100 a week. And suddenly they find themselves in a position where they have this real estate franchise, and suddenly they're earning sometimes as much as $1,000 or more a day. Always a couple thousand dollars or more a week. Now this is back in 1974. A couple thousand dollars a week now would be good. Back then it was fantastic. Before I got my franchise, one of the things that I was assigned to do is I was assigned by the corporate office to go into many of these offices where these young men were and were operating and help them. Because they had gotten themselves into financial trouble. Let me tell you what they had done. As soon as they got their offices open and money started coming in, they went out and bought themselves brand new cars, brand new big old stereo systems, went out and bought themselves brand new turquoise jewelry and big old watches, and got themselves brand new apartment and brand new furniture and all this stuff. And now they didn't have enough money to pay for the advertising and the phone and the staff and everything else for their business, because they took the money that was supposed to be used for the business and used it on themselves. Now, had they done what they were supposed to do, the business would have increased. They would have got more business. They'd have had more money, not only enough for the business, but also to be able now to go ahead through the harvest increase and be able now have all those things that they wanted. But they didn't do that. They took the seed money that was coming in and consumed it upon themselves. They couldn't tell the difference between what was an essential need and what was something they wanted. Their business required them to have these things. But they didn't have it to pay. Because they wanted, well, I want this brand new car. I want this brand new Harley Davidson. I want this brand new huge old $5,000 Bang and Olufsen stereo system. Good Lord, for what? All it's going to do is play 8-track tapes. I mean, that's how it was. Some scratchy old 45s. See, now I watched that happen. So I learned what not to do. Don't do that. Because if you do that, you're going to have the same results in that business. So I didn't do that. I waited until the business was going, then I went ahead and bought everything I wanted. Now, but see, that's what most Christians do today. They don't know the difference between something that is an essential need and something that they want out of lust or just simple convenience. And so they take the seed money. Now, you see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, God gives us seed. It says He gives seed to the sower. Well, who are the sowers? We are. He gives us seed. Guess what we're supposed to do with the seed? We're supposed to sow that seed, but most Christians don't know that it's seed. They get a little bit of extra. They get a little bit of money. Oh my God, I can run out and I can get that. Let me tell you something. I've been waiting for a big screen TV. I want a big old 65-inch flat screen TV with the full theater system and everything. But you know, at the time has not been right for me to get it. Now, you know, I could actually go out and pay cash for it. But I realized I wanted that. But it wasn't something I needed. Let me tell you something. There's a difference between a need and a want. Food is a need. A big screen TV, I can live without. I am not going to go into my grave because I don't have a big screen TV. I have a big screen TV, first of all. It's just not 65 inches. You understand this? But see, most Christians have not come to a place to where they really understand the difference. And the reason why they don't have a harvest is because they're not taking the seed that God is giving them and sowing it. That's why they're not increasing. They're staying in the same place. They keep on using their seed over and over and over and over again on the same old things and never knowing it. Never realizing that's what happened. This is something my wife and I had to learn. Now, here's what I'm talking about, for example. I really thought I needed cable TV with all the premium channels. Can I just tell you something? You don't need cable TV with all the premium channels. As a matter of fact, if you can't afford it, you shouldn't have it. And even if you can afford it, doesn't mean that you should. Because how do you know whether or not that money that you're spending on that is not the seed that the God has given you to sow, to increase you? But do you know most Christians are operating in that thing? Well, I've got to have it. They're not willing to give it up. That's what the Word of God says, ye lust and have not. I've got to have that. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with cable TV, but you better make sure that you're not taking seed that God's given you to sow and spending it on that. See, we found out that we weren't increasing in accordance with the way God said we would. We found out that one of the reasons for that is because we were taking our seed and consuming it upon our wants. Things that we thought that we either wanted, either because we thought we needed when we didn't, we just wanted them, or because they were more convenient to have it. How are we going to do without it? So we'll put the seed on it. Well, what do you mean? Let's talk about cell phones, for example. Did you know that most people don't need a cell phone? Now, some people do. There are some people that are in business that actually need it. But you know, most people don't. But they spend that money every month on that cell phone. And they have to have that cell phone. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's convenient for them to have the cell phone. But did you know that people lived for thousands of years without a cell phone? And did you know that the whole last century, people lived with just a regular landline telephone and did just fine without a cell phone? They don't need it. It's one of the things the Lord dealt with us about. Did you know, for example, most people living in the city, in the inner city now, don't need a vehicle? Sure is convenient to have one. But you know, most people don't need it because with the public transportation systems, I lived for many years without a vehicle living in the city. Didn't ever need one. It was convenient to get one. But in the city, most everything is within walking distance, your grocery stores and everything else. It is convenient to have one. Who wants to take a bus? But see, there's a great deal of difference between needing a car and wanting one for convenience sake. But see, most Christians are not taking their time to find out, is this something I need? Or is this something I want? We used to have two cars. We didn't need two cars. And at the time, we actually had two cars, a motorcycle, and a 24-foot U-Haul truck. Paying insurance on them, paying licenses, registration, and everything else. Didn't need them. Could only drive one at a time. Amen. Got rid of the truck, put the motorcycle in the shed, still sitting out there, sold one of the cars. Why? Because, you see, we discovered that wanting it for convenience sake and needing it were two different things. And when I found out that I was taking the seed that God was giving us, that we could be sowing for increase and putting it instead on the things that we wanted out of convenience sake, and we were missing a harvest because of it, that was the end of that. That's the end of that. We're not missing any more harvest. And you see, another thing we were doing is we were taking our credit cards, going ahead and using our seed. So we'd go out and buy this and buy that on credit cards and found out that we're consuming our seed upon the lust. God gives us seed. But you know, most Christians, the reason why they're not in a place where they can give to the degree that they want to or should is because there's a lot of things in their life that they haven't gotten rid of, that they need to get rid of. They need to trim the fat. They need to get rid of it because they'll never see the increase. They'll never see the harvest until they do because they're consuming the seed upon their wants, what they think is convenient. Everybody has it and I want it too. Bigger houses than they need. Bigger, more expensive apartments. Bigger, more expensive cars. Bigger this, bigger that. Got to have this. Spending as much on one dinner as you can on groceries for a week. Listen, it's nice to have. Before we can reap a harvest, we got to make sure we have one. See, what they're doing is they're asking God for things instead of seed. Put your focus on the seed. God knows what you want. The Word of God in Psalm 37 says, listen, delight in Him and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Let me tell you something. It's a whole lot better for God to give us what we want than for us to have to go out, spend our seed that God gave us for the harvest on buying something that we want, and now we have to pay for it and we lose our harvest. So not only are we now in debt buying something that God wanted to give us, but we also lost our harvest. One of the reasons why so many people, when they go to reap a harvest, don't find one is because they have not sown the seed that God gave them. Now, let me tell you something. It took real discipline for us. I mean it. And especially for me. I don't mind saying that. It took real discipline for me to stop buying things and recognize, is this an essential need or is this something I want out of convenience? When you have something, it's very difficult to let it go. And even worse, when that thing has you. I'll tell you what, there's some things. I didn't just have to let go, I had to cast them off. We started making changes in the way we did things. We started making changes in our priorities. You know, right now, it's been several years now, but you know, I don't miss those premium channels on cable TV. I'll tell you what, I'd rather take that money, and we do every month, and sow it. And praise God, we continue to get harvest. See, the Lord tells us this, that He does give seed to the sower. We need to make sure that we're not eating the seed. That's why in James, when he says, listen, you have not, because you ask not, and then when you do ask, you're asking for the wrong reasons, and you're consuming these things upon your own lust. He gives us the seed to sow, to give us the harvest, to give us the things that He wants us to have, that we want, and instead of doing that, we take the seed, we'll just go ahead and have this premium service over here, and I'll have this riding lawnmower over there, and I'll have this bigger second car over here, and I'll pay more for this apartment than I can afford, and I'll go buy all this new furniture over here, just like those guys did. And then they have nothing, because they're not content with what they have. And doesn't the Word of God tell us to be content with such things as ye may have? And God will increase us more and more. That's the harvest. We did without a lot of the things that we wanted. We got ourselves, our focus off of ourselves and started looking at the needs of others and began to focus on them. And when we did that, we began to see supernatural manifestations of God not only meeting our needs, but giving us increase. I mean, supernatural increase. If you'd have told me that we would have got a check the size of the check that we got and be able to spend all those tens of thousands of dollars on appliances and remodeling the kitchen area and that we were going to be able to do that, I would have found that impossible to believe. But that manifested because we did what the Lord said to do. Very often, as I said, what we did is we would take money that we were going to use to buy something we wanted. We don't need it. We just want it because it would be nice to have. And besides, God wants me to have it. Well, that's true. But He says, listen, don't seek your own wealth. He says, look after the interests of others. Help them. Sow the seed and I'll give it to you. We began to apply these principles. We made them a part of our life, and they are now a part of our life. It's the way we do things now. God continues to increase us more and more and more, just like He said He would. And see, we know we have big harvest. Amen. We know we do. Why? Because we learned how to take the seed that He's given us, and instead of consuming it upon our own lusts, to sow it the way He tells us, where He tells us when. And the nicest thing about that is, because when you start doing it that way, you never come short of seed. Did you hear me? You're never short of seed. You never have to worry about, well, I only got a buck to put in. I've got nothing to put in now. Many Christians, when it comes sowing time, that's where they are. Anybody ever been there but me? Don't have anything or much to put in there. Now, my question is why? Because God has already said that He gives us seed. So if we don't have seed to sow, guess what we did? We ate it. Is God a liar? Did God know you're going to be here tonight? God know we're going to take an offering tonight? God says that He provides all your need? You need seed? God says He gives us seed? We don't have seed? What did we do? We used our seed on something else. And whether you're here or somewhere else, you run across somebody who has a need, somebody who doesn't know what we know, you got 15 bucks, 20 bucks, I'm sorry, man, I'm tapped out. Did God know you're going to meet that person? Did God know that person had a need? Are you not His representative on earth? Did He not put you here in their path for their sake? Did God not tell us to look after their benefit and not our own? Did God not tell us that we would have everything we need to be able to help and to contribute into every good work? Did God not already tell us in Galatians 6, when you have opportunity to do good, to do it? Did God already tell us in James, listen, when you see somebody who is hungry and has something to need, don't just say, go on your way and be filled, but help them out? Did God already say that? And did God tell us that He would already give us everything we need and give us a seed for it? And now we don't have anything to give the guy? Why? Why? Because either God's a liar or we messed up. Now, has anybody ever been there but me? Because I've been there. But you see, if you do what God says to do with these things, the way He tells you to do it, you will never be in that place again. You will never be in that place again. You'll never find yourself short or lacking again. Not ever. I remember a time when somebody needed money. And I looked at what we had, and we didn't have much. But they were in deep trouble. So I made him an offer of half of what he needed, because that's what I knew that I could afford. Because if I gave him half of what he needed, I would still have something left. He said, all right. So I knew he was coming over to get it, and I called my wife, and we talked a little bit. Not only did we agree to give him everything we had, but I also found more that I had, that I knew that if I gave it to him, because it was coming out of something else, that we just would not have enough for that either. So not only would we be at zero and have nothing for us, but now we'd actually be more than 100 bucks behind. Well, what do you do? You do what God says and trust Him. He says, listen, I know what you need. Stop looking out for yourself. Don't worry about tomorrow. See, I'm looking at this saying, well, let's see, if I do that, if I give Him that, then I won't have enough tomorrow for that or a week from now. Well, see, somewhere along the line, we got to start doing what the Word says. Somewhere you got to follow God. How many of you know it takes faith? It takes faith. Well, see, I'm talking about learning how to operate in these things. So we went ahead and gave him everything we had, and then I took all that and gave that to him too. Blessed his socks off. Called me crying because he needed it so badly. Not only did we give him enough for what he needed, but more than enough. And that's exactly what he needed. And you know what? We didn't come up short. God met our needs and the needs of that other thing too, that we had taken the money out. When the time came, all the money was there. Who is our supply? God is. And He says, I know what you have need of before He even asks. Don't you know I know that? And I've given you this. Stop being so afraid. Stop taking thought of tomorrow. See, if we'd have kept the money, it'd be like, well, if we give this to Him, we won't have enough for gas for the next week. That's thinking about tomorrow. He says, I'll never let you be ashamed if you trust me. You just trust Him. Let me just say this to you. If you're still in having trouble believing God for 20 bucks, you're in trouble. We should be a lot farther along than $20 faith by now. Would you agree with that? I mean, I'm talking about if this is not new to you. If these things are not new to you, and we're still having trouble to believe God for 20 bucks, oh my God, I'm going to have to hang on to this 20 bucks because it's all I got. You can't even believe God to meet your $20 need? We're in trouble. This is why people are trying to reap harvests that they don't have, really, basically, is what I'm saying. In other words, the size of the harvest that they think they have is nowhere near the harvest that they really have. And so they're trying to reap a bigger harvest than is actually there. And when they go out, there's no harvest. And the Word of God tells us in Proverbs, He says, hey, listen, you don't plant when it's time to plant. When harvest comes time, you're going to beg. You're going to be looking for a harvest where there is none. Now, isn't it nicer to know these things, how to make sure you have a harvest so that when it does come time to reap, you are actually reaping a harvest? I didn't waste your time tonight, did I? Many people are confused about these things. Listen, take the time to get before God. And all I can say to you is, God knows what's in your future. You don't. God knows what you need and what you're going to need. The thing for us to do is to do what God says, the way God says to do it. Would you hear me? To do what God says, the way He says to do it, so that we make sure that He's able to get to us everything that we need when the time comes for us to need it. Would you agree with that? Yeah. This stuff that I shared with you tonight, we didn't learn this overnight. It took us several years to learn it the hard way. You don't have to. We have it on CD for you. You don't have to learn it over 6 years or 7 years. You can take the CD and listen to it several times and meditate on it and get it. We didn't have anybody to tell us these things. We had to learn them on our own the hard way, as my wife said. And we made many mistakes. And there were a lot of tears shed over it. But thank God that we can trust His Word. And if we do what He says the way He says to do it, we've discovered every time the supernatural manifestation of God, it works. Let's take a second and thank God. How about that? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you for teaching us and showing us and revealing these things to us that we need to know, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, for showing us how to make sure that we actually have a harvest and that the harvest that we have is as big and is as generous as we believe it to be and as you said it would be. So that when we go in and put the effort in to reap it, we're not reaping in an empty field. Thank you for helping us. Father, help us to understand these things even more clearly so that we can walk in them and apply them, doing them in faith and seeing the manifestation of the results in our lives. We give you all the praise, all the glory now and forever. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, you can say amen.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com.